Turn with me this morning to the book of St. John, chapter 14. The book of St. John, chapter 14. I want to talk to you this morning about something that I believe will bless you, minister life to you. St. John, chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that'll help you. You'd be surprised how many people don't read the Bible. They let a preacher read it for them. St. John chapter 14, let's start off with verse 11. Now I'm going to do a little preaching this morning, that's proclaiming, and I'm going to do a little teaching, that's explaining. I got to do both, because see, you can proclaim and exhort, but never really understand what I'm saying until you teach it out. You do both. So preaching is proclaiming, teaching is explaining. I want to talk this morning on this session here about the undeniable, staggering power of the church. The undeniable, staggering power of the church. It's amazing how much power we have as the body of Christ. And let's read St. John chapter 14, verse 11. It says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." So it's okay to look at the works that Jesus does. Then he says something that's just beyond human reasoning. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." Underline that in your scripture. He says, "The works that I do, that he shall do also." Now, have you ever thought about that statement? Jesus walked the water, raised the dead, cast out devils, freely received, freely give, was dead, but came back to life, ascended to heaven, came back without a space suit. Do you understand the magnitude of that statement? And he said it so strong, it's in red. I mean, his words turned red when he said it. Am I right? Look, is it in red? Right. Read it again. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater," oh Lord Jesus, now we're just getting beyond here. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Verse 13. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name." That just knocks down about 95% of everything the church has ever said concerning what you could have. This is Jesus talking to you. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." Why? There's always a reason for it. "That the Father may be glorified in the Son." Look at verse 14. It even gets slicker. "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, can Jesus lie? God can't lie, can he? Now, that's some pretty powerful stuff there. And you might say, "Yeah, but..." Now, that's the problem. You need to get your butt out of the way. That's the biggest butt you'll ever see in your life right there. Let me tell you something. Now, either the Lord is telling the truth or he's lying. Either what he says is or it's not. And I want to go back to verse 12. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me." So there's conditions to do these things. "The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Title of this message is "The Undeniable, Staggering Power of the Church." So write this down if you're taking notes. In order to believe on him, you must know him. See, a lot of people know about God, but they don't know God. I mean, I was raised up in church. I was a Catholic boy. I mean, I went to church. And then my mother and father got saved, which I never heard of before in my life because they didn't deal with those terminologies then, and went to the Protestant church. I knew a lot about God, but I did not know God. Now, he said, if you believe in him, not only must you believe in him, you must believe on him. Now, this is what he thinks about you. What do you think about him? He thinks you can heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devil, freely receive, Lord Jesus, freely give. My God, you know how I got this sermon? I was driving by a cemetery and the Lord stopped. He said, "Stop. This is a beautiful cemetery." He said, "Look at that place. Wouldn't that be a nice place to build some houses?" I said, "What'd you say, dude?" Now, this is the undeniable, staggering power of the church. Watch this. He said, "Wouldn't that make a beautiful subdivision? Look how much land they have." He said, "Why don't you go clean it out?" I said, what you said, Jesus? He said, didn't I tell you you could raise the dead? Would you like to talk about something else? No, answer the question. Didn't I say you could raise the dead? Yeah, you did. He said, look how many houses could be built there. He said, you know my father never intended anybody to ever die. Oh, man. By that time, my mind's going nuts, just like your mind's going nuts right now. It was staggering. What do you say? He said, you can do this. I said, I can't. He said, I'm telling you, you can do this. Come on. I'm telling you, you can do this. I believe that you can. I said, just keep believing, Lord. He said, why can't you? I said, I'll be honest, Lord. I don't have enough faith for that. He said, but you certainly can develop it. Jesus couldn't go to funerals. People, he'd mess them up. You try to bury somebody around Jesus. Get up. God said, I never wanted to be dead anyway. I just go on home. I went and got the insurance money. I ain't giving it back. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Now, I'm not telling you go out to the cemeteries and start jerking up the graves. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is what God believes you can do. That's undeniable, staggering power. God says, you can do this. That's why Satan is afraid of you when you use the name of Jesus. Amen. See, Satan knows more what you can do than you know what you can do. Now, you can't have any faith for anything that has not been preached to you. Do you know that the Bible doesn't make sense, but it does make faith? You ought to write that down. That'll help you, buddy. It don't make no sense, but it does make faith. Faith to do what? Whatever you desire. When you pray, believe. So in order to believe on him, not just any, but on him, you must know him. My God. And when you know him, you know, if you know someone, you know what they're going to do. When you know your children, you know what they're going to do before they do it. Why? Because you know them. Write this down. When you know him, you have access to the Father. Now, you got to understand that. When you know God, you have total access to the Father. See, when you know somebody, my Lord, you become their friend. You begin to know them. You have fellowship and relationship. Before you know what they're going to do. And if you've been married a while, your wife know what you think. And vice versa. You can have messages going across and never talk to each other. Just look at each other. How many married couples know what I'm talking about? They say as you get older, you begin to look like each other. Some of y'all in trouble. Don't look around here. Don't look around. If I get to look like Kathy, I'll be all right. I think Kathy pretty. Glory. Hallelujah. That'd be a blessing for me. Glory to God. But I want to tell you something. This undeniable, staggering power. And you worried about a light bill? Or you worried about a kid getting saved? When God says, you can do this. You can do this if you believe. If you believe me like I believe you. That's what your Father thinks of. That's pretty good, isn't it? So when you know him, you have access to the Father. Write this down. When you believe on him, his faith and your faith coincides. See, when you believe on him, I love it. His faith and your faith, that's two faiths coming together, coincide. Do you know you're working in two different economies? Do you know that you're working in two different places at the same time? The Bible said what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will loose in heaven. You will affect what goes on in heaven today by what you do upon the earth. And what they do in heaven will affect what you do, what happens here on the earth. Both of you are in the same relationship with great power and majesty in the things that God calls you to do. Amen. Isn't this good stuff? Now, I'm going to buy this tape myself. I like it. When you believe on him, his faith and your faith coincides. Well, I've said the two of you agree. There's been a lot of times I've preached to thousands of people and not one of them believed anything I said. But the reason why I was a success going so well to succeed was God was believing what I said. The only person in this church that has to believe everything I say is me. I have got to believe everything I say. Why? Because it can't function for you if I don't believe it. If you have a guy come and say, we're going to pray for your healing, but you know how the Lord is. Don't let him pray for you. Nothing going to happen. Because he don't know the Lord. He's going by personal experience instead of what God says. Now, I don't deny sickness and disease in people's body. I deny it's right. The last time I was in a hospital was when I was born. They slapped me. I ain't been back since. They didn't have to slap me. They could have massaged my little shoulders or something. They just give you a big swat. That's the first thing a baby gets is pain. Think about that for a minute. I know the baby needs to breathe, but there's all kinds of way of breathing. But I just call shock. So when you believe on him, his faith and your faith coincides. See, now when the Lord began to deal with me about this, he says, I want to tell you something. You can do these things. And everything I've ever done in my life has been impossible. I've told my staff, I believe the unbelievable and I receive the impossible. Now, I appreciate what Pastor said, but you know, most preachers, I'm probably 99.99999% of them, my God, cannot go nowhere without relying on you to help them. Now, God uses people, don't misunderstand me, always has, he always will, but the issue is this. I mean, I've had some preachers call me and say, would you please start charging churches expenses? You're making me look bad. I ain't making you look bad. I didn't even have you on my mind. In fact, I don't even know who you are. Well, I have to charge a church. Well, that's okay. I mean, you invite a guest. Bless God. You know, if somebody goes sleep at your house while they're sleeping, you don't stick a bill on each door and says, I'm putting that room on sale today for $49.99. No, you wouldn't do that, would you? So it's nice to take care of somebody. But me, I made up my mind from the beginning of my ministry that I would always be a blessing instead of a burden. That I would live by faith and not by sight. And I have accomplished that in every... God have been good to Jesse. But you know why? Because I decided to believe what he said. How can you fly an intercontinental jet and not charge people for fuel? Easy. Pay for it yourself. Somebody shout over that, will you? Let's pay for it. See, God provides provision before he ever provided the person to use it. So my provision was out there before I ever went into the ministry. Lord Jesus. And all I do is keep it and dress it. I've had many opportunities to fail. I just don't take any. Now the reason I'm kind of standing here, because the television department told me to stay up on this platform, kind of helps out the tape. I just want y'all to know that. Some of y'all say, he normally moves a lot. I'm trying to, but see, I'm stuck. Faith in Jesus' words catapults you to another level. Man, and the more I read that, it begins to pick me up. Lord Jesus. And you know, I've looked at death situations right before they died and called the name of the Lord and people were instantly healed in hospitals. Now I remember when I first prayed, I didn't do that. Not because my prayer wasn't powerful enough. The problem was I didn't believe it could do what it said. To a certain degree I did, but not to the fullness of that degree. See what I'm saying? But as I begin to develop and hear the word of God, faith come by hearing, not by heard. Hearing and hearing and hearing. I begin to go, wait a minute. I'm starting to talk like Jesus. This undeniable, this staggering power of the church. And I've got bold with it. In my giving and in my receiving. I had a bank president one time tell me not long ago. I said, when I get these time walks about 3 years ago. He said, you know, Reverend. He said, we starting this bank. We hadn't had many. You know, we need to get more new depositors. So he was wanting me to talk about his bank at my ministry. Because a lot of people watch me. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been a partner to my ministry? He said, excuse me. I said, the bank. Has the bank ever been a partner to my ministry? He said, no. I said, that's your problem. You're asking for something that you haven't sold the seed for. I said, let this bank, not you, the bank, the institution. Now, you know banks don't give money away. I said, become a partner of this ministry. I said, when you're having your next board meeting with the bank? He said, Tuesday. I said, tell them to be a partner. You got some guts? Come on. Watch what God do, because the anointing increases on me. You want new depositors? That sounded so arrogant and cocky. But it was the truth. I don't mean that arrogant cocky, just the truth. Well, sure enough, it wasn't 2 weeks later, I got a check from the bank for $500. When a bank give you something, you need to videotape it. Take pictures of it. Because they just don't do that. Do you know within 6 weeks after the check, that bank president. He said, can I go to lunch with you? Yeah. He said, you know, my God, Reverend, I am amazed at how many new depositors have come in. I said, just think if you'd have gave 5,000. He didn't quit. He went, yeah, yeah. And they still are partners with me today. Can you see that? Now, to say something like that, you're either crazy or you believe this undeniable, staggering power of the church. Now, he said, go do the works after and do it greater. I begin to do a summary of all the works. I said, whoo, if I had a long way to go, God. And Jesus, he interrupted me. You can do this. You can do this thing. You, come on. Come on. Come on. You can do this. I said, okay. So now when I get ready to preach, I hear that Rocky theme. Dun, 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 dun. Do whatever we need to do. Because that's what he said. So faith in Jesus' word catapults you to another level. God, isn't that something? You get into the level God wants you to be. I tried that, brother. Trying don't get nothing done. I didn't try to come to Clovis. I came to Clovis. Do you know, I got some of my friends said, what's in Clovis? Me. Oh, you must be stopping there so you can go on to California, kind of help you on your expense. No, my pilots are back there. Am I flying back to New Orleans after this service? I got to do television in the morning, and then I'm going to fly right back over Clovis tomorrow. And go, I got to be in, what's the name of that? Marietta, California, San Diego area. Oh, we got to speak in tongues to say that name. Stammering lips or something. No, I just made up my mind. You see, no, God sent me here. I don't know why I like this place. When I drove in here with my motorcycle, it hit me. I said, Kathy, this is Clovis. And I'll never forget that man I talked to. I said, where are we at? You in Clovis. That's how he talked. You in Clovis. That is stuck in my mind. Every time I don't have an accent until I say Clovis. See, yeah. And then I tell people about this church all the time. I say, you got to meet this guy, Swan. They said, a funny guy? No. There's another guy named Swan. He's a clown. I said, no, this guy ain't a clown. Did you know that? There's a guy named, Dennis Swan. He's a Christian comedian. Anybody ever heard of Dennis Swan? Real great guy. I mean, he's a blessing of the Lord. I said, no, this is David Swan. He make you an offer. You don't really care. I said, they building stuff in Clovis. They changed the economy. They did. Yeah, they made a base stay here by prayer. That's changing the economy. Hey, that's undeniable, staggering power of the church. Do you see that? You manifested something that was impossible and unbelievable. But you did it. Jesus never did that. Think about that. You did a greater work.
That's
one of them. You made the United States government listen. What Jesus was saying. Greater works than these shall you do. Write this down. St. John chapter 12 verse 14 started the movement of Christianity. That's where it started. Go do the works that I do and do it greater. At 12 all the way through verse 14. You shall ask anything. St. John 12 verse 14 started the movement of Christianity. It was a proclamation that Christ's work would continue. God gave us the ability to do what he did and greater. Because it assured the Father God and Jesus the Son and the Holy Ghost that the Lord's work would continue. That's why he said, if you ask anything. Now you go tell that to a Baptist, Catholic, Assembly of God, and a lot of Word of Faith people. Full gospel. Bless God, anything I ask for, I can get. You know when they look at you? Who you think you are? Thinking you cocky and arrogant when all you being is obedient. I'm not talking about asking in the flesh. I'm talking, everybody knows when you're dealing with flesh. I'm talking about what God said. But he don't mind you having things. I've said it here before. When you get to heaven, you're not going to have a trailer. There's not a trailer to be found. I heard, what's his name? Jeff Foxworthy said, you might be a redneck. What do you call it? You might be a redneck if you give a party and the people take the wheels off your house. And I thought, I must be a redneck because that happened to me. I remember years ago, we lived in trailers growing up. That's all I lived in. We lived in hurricane country. You didn't have to, you just hook up, take the house with you, go out of town. Look like a turtle going out of town with your house and come back. And you'd have to relevel it and take the wheels off of it. See, St. John 12, verse 14, started that movement of Christianity. It was a proclamation that Christ's work would continue. Think about that. That's what he's saying. This undeniable, staggering power of the church. My God. And y'all have proof. You got proof. You did it. Do it in everything. Because if you can do it in one thing, you can do it in everything. Same God. Same answer. I'm telling you. What are you believing for? Let me ask you, what you believing for, can you receive it? Or do you let people talk you out of it? I made up my mind, I ain't let nobody talk me out of it. You know how many preachers tried to talk me out of getting an airplane? Years and years ago, when God told me he was going to give me an airplane, Lord Jesus, I couldn't fill up a Toyota. I didn't have enough money to fill up a Toyota. It was unbelievable and impossible. But you know what? I believed the unbelievable and I received the impossible. Now, my board of directors allows me to use that aircraft anytime I want personally. Now, I've owned 3 jets, paid cash for all 3. Now, watch this. Listen, and I've never used one time personally. I can. People say, I have some of my friends say, well, why don't you take it? Look, I get a day off. Jesse, go home. E.T. phone home. I go home. You understand? I mean, I've been all over the world. What, I want to fly somewhere? Now, have you been to Hawaii in that jet? Yeah, preaching my guts out. Kathy said, do you ever do anything else but work? One man laughed at me, is there ever enough for you? I said, no! I said, you want to shut me up? Yeah. I said, get everybody saved. Get everybody healed. Everybody get blessed. Everybody get wealthy. I sit down and shut up. Yeah. But as long as there's a sick person, as long as there's a broke person, I'm going to preach this gospel. Because it's good news to people who need it. You see my point? That's why God said, go ye in the world. Get the world saved. I'll shut up. I give you something to focus on. Shut up, Jesse Prince. He looked at me and said, that's impossible. I said, that's why I'm working. To you, it's impossible. I said, but one day, I am going to shut up.
Whoa, amen. Amen.
I'm going to do what the Lord said. And he rested. Amen. I haven't rested. One day he rested. He didn't rest long. You ever wonder how long he rested? The Bible said he created earth 6 days and on the seventh day he rested. But how long? How long did he rest? I mean, he had to go right back to work because Adam blew the thing to pieces. You think about it. You ever figure out how long he rested? He didn't rest very long. Can you imagine God going, oh, he rested. That doesn't mean he was tired. Everybody thought God was tired. No, no. He just was finished. See, when he rested, he was finished. He wasn't tired. He just finished. Well, that's it. And then Adam gave him a bunch of work to do. Blew it all to pieces. He went, aw. Here we go again. Now, you think about that for a minute. So, when you see this, write this down. The realm of faith begins and ends with the Word of God. It must be your final authority. The realm of faith begins and ends with the Word of God. It must be your final authority. The reason why I work so much, because I'm not finished. I'm not resting because I'm tired. Because I'm not finished. You say, I got to go. I'll rest when I finish. See, that's what he did. God rested because he finished, not because he's tired. But then Adam put him back to work. You see what I'm saying? I've heard some people that have retired from their job. They work harder now in their retirement than they did when they worked. They want to go back to work. They said, my God, working was easy. You see what I'm saying? So the realm of faith begins and ends with the Word of God. I start my ministry with the Word of God. I'll finish my ministry with the Word of God. It's final authority in everything. Even if I have the finance to buy something, I don't spend it until the Lord tells me to do it. There's two things I do with money. I either spend it or I give it away. I never hoard it. See, because hoard money, it doesn't produce anything of profit. Because eventually you use it all up and you got nothing. I either spend it for the work of the Lord or I give it away. One of the other. Money in my hands is always working. Constantly working. Why? Because, you see, we live in an economic world. That's why we need to talk about money. He said, you should talk about money. Well, you have to. Everybody's talking about money. You can't go to the mall today without talking about money. There's that signs all over the mall. For sale, for sale. For sale, for sale. You don't hear far free, far free. Oh, far free. Just come on, fill up your basket. Yo, mama. They talk more about money than anybody ever seen in my life. And it takes money to operate the lights. I mean, right now, money is being burned from this electricity. And it's okay for the energy company to charge them. That's the business they're in. That's okay. See, everybody thinks ministries, you know, what's wrong? David, you can preach this to the men and under you, you know, under your authority as far as your ministry. The problem with a lot of ministry, they don't understand that it's a business. Oh, no, it's a ministry. No, 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 it's not. It's a business. You want it from the King of Kings? I'm about my Father's
business.
He didn't say I'm about my Father's ministry. Oh, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, the ministry, it's a business, it's a ministry, but it's more of a business. If you don't operate it and function like a business, it'll fail. That's what Jesus said. Told his mama. He figured that out at 12 years old. We got ministers, they 90 years old, still hadn't figured that out. I'm about my Father's business. The business of the kingdom. Within that business is ministry. So you got to start with the Word of God, finish with the Word of God, because it's your final authority. The Word of God must begin your day and end your day. I get up every morning, I go, wow, Lord, another day. And when I finish, I go, whoa, what a day. I begin and I end. This undeniable, staggering power of the church. So when I think, my God, he believes I can do these things. So when the television networks raise my rates and I go, cool. Jesus, man, I'm paying $50,000 a week. Now you want $60,000 a week for one TV station, and I'm on over 2,700 of them. You do the math. It'll keep you up at night. But not Jesse. He give his beloved sleep. Not that I'm better than anybody. I just start the day with the Word, end the day with the Word. So when I get those big old bills, I've done it here before. Kenneth Copeland like to fell out when they said, Justin, what did you do when you get those big television bills? I said, just eat. Jesus, you got mail. None of my business. Why? Because I'm a beloved. So I should sleep. Oh, that's crazy. It may be crazy, but it's undeniable, staggering power that helps me sleep. Yes. I refuse to be lazy. Laziness must not be a part of the work of God. Write that down. That's in your giving. I don't get lazy with my giving. I don't get lazy with my physical handwork, but if the church needs something. People are amazed at me. I'm the CEO of Jesse Duplantis Ministry Covenant Church, but I'm normal. I'm just normal. You understand what I'm saying? And what I mean by that is, and they can't get over that. I've had more people say, God, Lord, just, I mean, if I see one of my women, whoever, you know, working for me, if they need some help on something, I'll go over there and do it. I mean, they were one of the maintenance guys pulling something real dirty, man. I saw him, he was struggling. I ran over there and said, he was, oh, no, brother. I said, come on, grab me in this thing. It was greasy. It washed off. I don't mean that trying to bag on myself. Good Lord, man. I mean, you know, I don't want them to bow down when I go by. Just hit the floor, you know. You know, I'm not into that kind of stuff. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm going to be a blessing. I'm not going to certainly let one of my people work for me hurt their back when I can help them not hurt their back. I never forget when we was building the ministry, the campus they call it. I came in just at the time this guy was taking, what they call it, the roofing stuff. We had to cover, and I mean, it weighed about 90 pounds of thing. Boom. And they was throwing this stuff up there. This was the layer stuff. The other stuff go on top of it. And I saw, boy, he take it, pick it up like this, and go up the steps. That's work. So I saw that, man. I stopped, got out, and while he was up the ladder, I got the other one. I said, "It's easy if I help you do this." "Oh no, Reverend, you can't do that. Why can't I do that? This is my stuff. I can do anything I want with it. I bought it. Now you throw it up there and I'm gonna hand it to you." Boom. Well, it took about, knocked out about three quarters of time to do that. He said, "I can't believe he did." They didn't call me the minister. They called me the owner. These were subcontractors. "The owner is here picking up stuff." And then when the contractor, "Good God, man, don't let him do that." They said we couldn't stop it. I wasn't trying to brag. I could walk by and say, "Kiss my aunt," all that kind of stuff. No. No, the man needed some help. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? The man needed some help. And I needed some exercise. This undeniable, staggering power of the church. You don't mind if God comes to work for you. So why should I? Why can't I work? If I expect God to help me and work with, why couldn't I help somebody if I want to? Why would that injure my image? That don't injure my image. Because I asked God many times, "Get in the mud with me, Jesus." And he'll jump right slap in there with you. Isn't that wonderful? So laziness must not be a part of the work of God. Write this down. Faith, commitment, and love are the building blocks for doing greater works. Faith, then commitment, and love. So faith and commitment to your faith, and love to the commitment and to the faith. If you want to put it all together like that. Faith, commitment, and love are the building blocks for doing great works. Or greater works. Greater works than these shall you do. Now Jesus believes we can do that. I'm going to say something. Now, hang, grab your chair. I hope I don't shock you. I have preached to more people than Jesus has ever preached to. So I've done a greater work than that. And Jesus was in a very localized area of the Middle East. He didn't have the website. He didn't have television, radio, printed page, any of that. See what I'm saying? When he went somewhere, he'd have come to Clovis on a donkey. He'd still be out there. Took 5 days to go from Nazareth to Jerusalem in his time, which is about 118 miles, I think, from Nazareth, and I've been there, to Jerusalem. 118 miles ain't nothing. You jump your car and go down the road, ain't you? Your kid can hitchhike 118 miles. No, not this generation anymore. Somebody kill you out there. When I was growing up, my dad said, "You want to go somewhere?" This is what I rode on right there. How many of y'all hitchhiked before? Yeah. Don't do that now. I'm going to get crazy people. People had a little sense. See, the America I was raised up does not exist anymore. We were raised up to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Or you want to blow somebody's socks off, just say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Especially if you're young. They'll go, "What?" The America I was raised up does not exist anymore. And it was a good America. Amen. Not that this is a bad America, but I'll tell you, it was a good America. We could sleep with our doors unlocked. I don't know if y'all still do that in Clovis. Because if somebody tried to get to your house, you can see them coming because y'all got some flat land. Y'all might be able to still sleep with your doors. Can y'all sleep with y'all doors open and closed?
No.
Okay. Years ago, man, we didn't have air conditions. You had to leave the windows up so the breeze could come into the... I mean, how many times y'all been woke up by a cow? Faith, commitment, love are the building blocks for doing greater works. So I'm committed to my faith and committed to my love. Just saying this stuff is good, but you got to possess it. So you got to go out there and manifest it. It's called work. The only time I find success ahead of work is in the dictionary. That's the only place I can find it. Write this down. We work together for a common cause. What is that cause? We are armed with divine authority. What made David the man he was, King David? Let me say the point. We work together for a common cause. We are armed with divine authority. That's why he gave it this. He gave it to us in red. It's armed. It's ammunition. And for a common cause. What is that cause? Cause to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What made David so powerful? He was a kid. He was a teenager. He was kind of really a rebel. His daddy didn't like him very much, kept him on the backside of a mountain watching sheep. Think about that. And when Samuel came, he didn't even call David. He said, no, man, God ain't going to pick that fool. He's a musician. You know how the musicians are. I mean, they smoke sheep hair and everything. They just kind of weird. You know what I mean? You know how them musicians are. He wasn't, his daddy never even asked him to come and see. And even Samuel said, he's confused. He got the other kids. Oh, yeah, but you forgot one. He's weird. What made him so great? He could understand covenant. He comes over there and has a 9-foot giant or better, screaming at the nation of Israel, and they're all supposed to be the people of God, and they're just going, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. And here comes a 17-year-old, rudy-faced kid. Say, y'all got a problem? You're going to let this uncircumcised Philistine, he realized he wasn't a covenant man. They forgot they were covenant. They forgot that they had the undeniable, staggering power. They had a lack of spirit strength. It's called fear. Fear is a lack of spirit strength. He said, then he says this. You can see in him why God chose this man. Is there not a cause? That's what he said. Is there not a cause? What do you think made Martin Luther King go through the things he went through so that people could be free? Do you know how many times they threatened to kill his wife and his children? Can you imagine being under that gun constantly? People hating you? All you want to do is have what the Constitution gives you. It's called America. But because of the color of your skin, the kidney, hate you. Is there not a cause? And he died for it. But the cause didn't. You can never kill a cause. A cause is greater than any one man or any one woman. What about William Wilberforce? You ever thought about him? Most people don't even know who he is. That man is the one that shut down slavery in the British Empire. He thought he could do it at 22, and he started at 22. But all through his life, but he knocked it out. He's the one that met the slave captain that wrote the song Amazing Grace, that got born again. He was a slave captain. Just kill these people like dogs. They didn't care. And he thought it was wrong because God, it was God in him. The work of the Lord was in him. He knew scripture, and he began to fight. And he said, you can't change an empire. Do you know how long slavery had been going on before William Wilberforce called it detriment to the human society? Thousands of years. It was in Jesus' days. It was in the Roman days. And you know, there's still some slavery today. But William Wilberforce did something that no one's ever done. You talk about a greater work. Not only did he shut down the slave labor or the slave trade in, quote, British Empire, but he literally killed the very idea that slavery was okay. Anywhere in the world today, anywhere in any nation, you mention slavery, people go, oh, they reel at it. That was because one man decided to have a cause. He says, I will stop this inhumanity to man. I mean, every nation on this planet reels at slavery. When they find out somebody's doing that, they throw them in jail. He killed the very idea that it was okay to have slaves. And stopped the slave trade in an empire, which was the biggest empire of that day. Don't tell me we can't change America. Don't tell me we can't change the world. It's been done already. Write this down. The work of God told us to do, or let me say it again. The work God told us to do must be clearly evident and unmistakably authenticated. Let me say it again. The work God told us to do must be clearly evident and unmistakably authenticated, clearly evident. He said, greater works than these. We have to make it clear, brother. And then we must, my God, it must be unmistakably authenticated, because it can be. Remember, every time you want to do something, there's always somebody telling you you can't. Pulling up your past, pulling up your genealogy, something that they just don't think you can do. What about that woman in 19? Do you know, women, that men would not allow you to vote? Well, somebody had to stand up. Some woman had to take some, excuse my French, hell, and said, we are not animals. We can think. You were not supposed to think. You're supposed to just be a yes, sir, no, sir, do whatever I tell you. A lesser species. And God never created women as lesser species, because when he created Eve, he didn't call her Eve. He called her Adam. Adam called her Eve. The Bible said he created male and female, created he them, not him, them, not him, called them, not him, Adam. He gave her a male name, gave her authority and power and right. Look at some of the men. The work God told us to do must be clearly evident and unmistakably authenticated. Yeah. That's why I do what I do. When I got this all at a cemetery. Write this down and I'll close with this. The power of God is a necessary link to the testimony of the church. We must have power in God's house. It's a necessary link to the testimony of the church. And what has the church world done for centuries? Tried to kill the power of God. Where does the power of God come? Pentecost. But do you know now that the biggest growing entity of the church worldwide is Pentecost? People have had it with sad, sick, disgusted, busted religion. They want the power and the authority to use the name of Jesus to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, receive, give everything. It's the greatest entity in the church today. The mainline denomination of churches are losing members by the millions. And the Pentecostal charismatic people that believe in the fullness of churches are growing leaps and bounds. People have had it with nothing but law. They want something that works. With this undeniable, staggering power of the church, you have it. It is in you, because it's not the building. It's you. Do you see that? So when God tells me to do the unbelievable and to receive the impossible, I go, okay. And there's been times, I'm always honest with God, I said, not quite there yet. He said, but you're getting there. You better know it. You grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Let me say this. And young people, y'all not going to understand this at all. I know it. But believe me anyway. Do you know how long it took me to get to 18 years old? About 100 years. I never thought I could get. When I'm going to get to 18 so I don't have to listen to mama. I can be a man. I remember in my wonderful year, 14 years old, I had one hair on my chest and my daddy pulled it off. It took me 14 years to grow that boy. And in a snap of a finger. Oh, damn. I remember I wanted to use his razor. He said, let the cat lick your face. You'll be all right. Why did I ever start that shaving? I hate shaving. How many men hate the shave? Come on. Stand up, men. Let's show these young people. Stand up. If you hate the shave, just stand up. See what you're looking for, young man? I'm telling, it's aggravating. It's aggravating. I just wanted to be 18. I still want to be 18. I'd like to go back to 18. Man, I had the shock of my life when I made 18. I went, I'm a man. And I got a letter from the United States government. Oh! Gentlemen. Oh! Come here, young boy. Vietnam. Good Lord Jesus. I just got out of high school. Yeah! I couldn't wait till I was 26 so I couldn't get drafted or get called up again. So, any kind, you know, or watch, be 25 so your insurance goes down. How many of y'all remember that? But I remember when somebody said, I'd say, oh, you're 25. 25? Guy's old, isn't he? I passed it twice. What are you laughing for, woman? Look at all the young people. Wait, your day is coming. One day you're going to be just like me. Look her loose. But I have undeniable staggering power. I got some money so I can tie this up. No, I don't think I'm going to do it. I heard it hurts too much. Jesus said, Jesse, I believe you can do anything. Then he gave me the step of faith. Ask me. Huh? Remember, you have to ask in faith. Nothing wavering. But that's what he believes about you. That's what the Father God is saying to his angels about all of you this morning. Got to see my kids. I'm telling you, man, they got power. They can do it.